I'm just going to borrow this book for a minute and just point out that what Stephanie has said is very interesting to me, because I had an opportunity, and don't shoot the messenger, to work on this application in draft form. And we had a few wins for people with mental illness, but it's still a horrendous document. However, the ministry feels that this particular part that you have just read out meets one of their goals, their five goals in doing this entire thing, which was to emphasize that it is the ministry that will decide whether or not somebody is disabled, and it is not the doctor who will decide. So it's interesting, a different take on that particular bit.
Yeah, I think they do it.
Yeah, as I say, I had... I am. I'm getting to that.
All right.
As I was saying, I had an opportunity to be part of doing this draft, the reason being that I'm a volunteer with the Canadian Mental Health Association, BC Division. And health services in Victoria negotiated with, there's a long story about it, and I'm giving the short version, negotiated that we would meet with health services branch to have some input on this, to try and make sure that it was amenable to invisible disabilities, and particularly people with mental illness and, well, I'll say mental illness. Some of it applies for people with brain injury, but there are still a lot of concerns around this for the brain injured. So since early in September, what I've been doing is going to clubhouses and mental health centers and agencies throughout the Fraser Valley and one in Burnaby to equate the clubhouse members, staff, and health staff in the mental health centers about the process that was being undertaken, and familiarizing them with the document, the application, and giving some advice on it. Certainly recommending that the first thing people do is get it photocopied, and what I'm doing at this point is actually getting a lot of photocopies, because for some people, even getting it photocopied is going to be a real chore to try and do that sort of shadow document that's going to help them to with an advocate or a support person, organize their thoughts around what needs to go on this document. And it's traumatic. I was just at a four-day conference talking about myself, and because I have to reapply, and eventually I started to feel quite sick to my stomach and I needed to just quit and get out of there. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And we may have to sit down with people two or three times before this document gets filled out. So I've been continuing to do some education, and as has CMHA with their branches throughout the province, and I do have a slide presentation that they're using that I have added a bit of my own stuff in. Right now it still has the CMHA logo on it, but if I change it much more, I'll have to take it off out of respect, because they've not approved what I'm doing with it. But they probably will. It's just a case of Bev's up in Kamloops doing it, and I'm down here adapting it with what I'm thinking. And for the different people that I'm seeing, which are a lot of consumers, but I've got about 19 copies of that with me, and if people would like it, I can give it to people, one from each organization. It also has a sheet that I developed at the beginning of what I was doing around some of the observations of this, and it's updated to my mind as of today. The other thing, I don't know how to begin to communicate with doctors. It's just overwhelming. I mean, you're in Vancouver, we're in Surrey. I mean, Skylark is doing it in Kamloops, and she's just an amazing person, but there's only 120 doctors in Kamloops, and that's an advantage. We have so many more down here. But I'm going to try and get the letters out. I took my own doctor a copy today, which she had not seen, and this is the second time I've seen her, second time in 6 months. And I had to write her a letter to take me on as a patient, because I'd seen her in a clinic and she left and wasn't taking any patients, and so I wrote this pleading letter and she took me on. But for our people, that's a real concern, these walk-in clinics and no connections to mental health centers. But certainly I'm going to try and be connecting with doctors. The other thing I'm doing is to try and get kind of a network of assessors. I phoned an employment group and said, it happens to be a church-related one, and I said, you know, do you have people with social work degrees and this sort of thing who would be interested in earning some money? because independently they can do it so long as they're registered. And if they want, you know, money for Christmas, go for it. And then I will sort of talk to them and make sure they're amenable to working with people with mental illness and understanding what the person is saying and get this done. And, you know, I think that that's what we have to do, is look for those people. Some people have degrees but haven't been able to pay for their registrations. So in Kamloops and down here, we're offering to do that for people who are prepared to do the job, especially for people who work in mental health, in clubhouses and that sort of thing. You know, I'd gladly pay their lousy $100 if they'll, you know, truly work with people and understand, you know, how important this is. And I think that there are so many materials being produced now that I think if we can just get them in the hands of the right people, it's going to work. But I know the doctors are daunted by it. The ministry figured it would take 25 minutes for a doctor and 50 minutes for an assessor. But as Lisa can tell you, some doctors are just taking one look at this part that says, how far can you walk and how high can you climb, and just crossing that sucker out because they say it has nothing to do with them. That's not going to fly. It's going to come back. They must fill out every question to get paid, and that's it. So it's a problem. I also have now, at that conference call that we had with the Vancouver Coastal, there was some concern that people had not received a package on September the 30th. I have about 8 or 9 photocopies of that package that went out as well. And not that it's anything tremendous, but I do have those if groups want to take them back.
Thanks, Susan.
I'm Susan Henry. I'm from First United Church. My thing is mostly some comments about things and some of my concerns. I said I'd be a bit of a catch-all because I'm going to talk a little bit about the downtown east side. But one of the things, of course, we're seeing is that we have such a huge number of people. I think between the BC Coalition, whose clientele is exclusively people with disabilities, and some of the mental health agencies who also are people with disabilities, we're the other area that has lots of people with disabilities. So the downtown east side is really getting flooded with these applications. Literacy is a huge issue. We have a lot of people, we have tons of people who brought in the letters. They don't even know what it says. Did they get it? Did they not get it? They have no clue. Some of them are also taking the issue a little too lightly. I have some, they tend to be the clients I see who have borderline IQs, you know, sort of low 70 to mid 80s, don't really understand and kind of are a bit slow about it. No, it's just a review, no problem. And I'm going, no, you better pay attention to it. So it's a big problem, that group of people. Many of the clients we see also have, their disabilities are related to alcohol or drug abuse, and I'm really concerned that they're going to try and get rid of those. Because with the PPNVs, they specifically included addiction as a medical condition that can be counted, I'm thinking they're trying to get rid of anybody who has any addiction-related issue. So that's a group of people who I'm quite worried about, and we have a lot of those. Let me see here. Well, of course, we have the problem, too. We have a lot of people who don't have doctor relationships. Or that they are so sporadic, they see one doctor and then they haven't seen that one for 2 years, and or they just don't have a doctor at all. So that's a very big problem. And lots of them, of course, don't have assessors, as do many other people. That's a problem. I think the downtown health clinic is going to try and leap in and solve that somehow. And we talk to the street nurses about being assessors as well, and they may also consider being assessors, which would be really helpful. I have some concerns, actually, which I wanted to put out because I thought some other people would have come up against it. I'm really concerned about people with costs only. I have a client who, I think people have costs only who got their DB on the basis of costs. I would really like to be able to talk to some other people who've come across some good clients who, you know, people who are pretty squeaky clean, who have a costs-only issue. I really wish we could go public on this, because I have a client who has a severe congenital blood disease, which creates life-threatening infections. It's a miracle he's still alive. Most people with this condition die in childhood. But his whole thing was based on costs, and I don't know what, he has other issues as well related to, not health issues, but social issues, because he was so ill as a child. Someone like that, I think it's absolutely criminal that he will be cut out of this. And I'd like, if there's any of you out there who have cost-only people, I'd like to talk to you. So I'm at First United. Another concern I have is the people might lose housing. If they lose their DB2 designation, well, we haven't. I tried to phone TRAC. I want to talk to TRAC about that because what's going to happen? Or is, if you cut off your DB2, is that it? You got to move, or is it wait till you move and then you never get in anywhere again? I mean, that's a really huge issue. The DB1, the TB1s who won't be able to score for PPMB also worry me. The ones who only have medical issues, but person with persistent multiple barriers, it's kind of sort of replaces the old DB1, but not, because you have to have both a medical condition and score 15 on the employability screen. And the employability screen basically asks you how much education you have, how many times you've been on assistance, how long you've been on assistance,
literacy questions.
Well, are you? No, it's more ESL. ESL.
Yeah, ESL or.
It's quite difficult to get. Sorry.
Education.
It's quite difficult to get 15. I mean, you basically have to be under a grade 10 under grade 10 education, not have worked in the past year, have been on assistance preferably 3 times in the past 3 years. Yeah. Which is hard because most of our people have been on once. They've been on the whole time. So it's quite difficult to score that 15. They have their medical condition, but they may not be able to score it. So that's a big concern about that group of people. I also would like to know, and maybe you have things, how are they going to when are we going to find out how they're judging the forms? When will we have a sense of what the criteria are going to be?
When we start getting them back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, previously your agency had the notes on how they judged them a long time ago.
See, we could do an FOI request trying to get that information, but I suspect that it would take 2 or 3 months before we get that. But I think we should certainly check into that.
I think we should, because we need to know what the criteria is that they're basing it on. And they might change it, but at least it would give us some clue.
Sounds like they are.
If I could address that as well, I mean, in the conference call that we had with the folks from the health assistance branch, they said that, you know, they knew the forms were really good because they got a psychometrician involved in the design. And
a what?
A psychometrician.
It's like someone who designs forms?
A guy who can think and write at the same time.
Turn concepts into numbers. And then they said, but no. It's all going to be at the, you know, the interpretation of the person who's looking at the form. There's no magic number. Like, hello, you don't get a psychometrician without a magic number, right? And they sort of denied the existence of any assessment tools, right? Yeah, right. So we know they have them, and we know that they're feeding us misinformation about what they're doing when they're looking at the forms. I mean, it's hardly surprising, but...
But right, I think at least doing the Freedom of Information thing would be
a good thing.
To have some... Is that how you got the last one?
No.
Somebody was nice the last
someone
time?
Someone kind of passed it on somehow.
And one tiny last question, which actually Lisa had brought up, which is, what do we do for people who lose their review forms? You know, because lots of our clients move, you know, things get lost in
they
their room.
They should be able to get another one from the office just by verifying.
A review form, though, because not the new application. A review that says you're being, but saying you're being, so you aren't taken as, you're a new application. That is just a bit of a concern.
I'm going to open up questions just a second. Lisa,
I wanted to say that the Canadian Mental Health Association has developed a form, and I believe Coast is using it, that asks a lot of information from people who phone into their office, trying to gather enough data to make some sense out of what kind of groups were actually sent the reassessment forms in this first block, because the people they said were going to be excluded, a lot of them haven't been, and it seems to be a mishmash, and they're acknowledging that some were sent out by mistake. And of course, in error.
Oops.
They shouldn't have received them. The other thing is, I was away at FAPG. I was only home 3 hours when I had a call from a mother whose daughter received the form and attempted suicide within 2 days. Was in the hospital, home, they've taken her medications away, and she was in the hospital again, and was just determined that she can't do this, that she can't live if they take this away, and it's really unfortunate. And I think we need to keep those records, the bona fide ones, you know, the ones that not saying, well, this is going to happen, but when we know it has happened. And I will be phoning Victoria about this woman and trying to get some kind of a rescinding of this, because the family is desperate and she won't let them in to even know if she's safe, so they creep around the house and peek in the windows to see if she's moving.